Blog Talk Radio. Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are listening now live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and Obaya. Hudu, Obaya, Bokua, sharing with you on all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, evolutionary, healing, and holistic. From a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my work along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, Divine Prince, Voodoo Thai, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother Father Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin and the place from where I realize, crystallize, and materialize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny. And I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is. Ashe, Ashe, and Ashe. Today is Thursday, February 9th, 2012. For those of you who understand Obatala, I say Ogun, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you now live, virtually, cosmically, quantum universally, from the working temple of the House of the Divine Prince Thai Emeka, Hudu Central, in the legendary, historic, and beautiful enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist hoodoo Obaya life path and journey. Path great Obaya stick, along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, and minerals. Do continue to join me here live and always in archive at your leisure and convenience. At high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time, here on Blog Talk Radio. My listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. If you have a comment or a request, please do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will be more than happy to assist you. Remembering that my website, where I can be reached utilizing various means virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating in 360 degrees of well-documented revelation and manifestation, is www.houseofthedivineprince.com. And I am humbled, truly, and appreciative of those of you who continue to support the many qualified ministers, spiritualists, psychics, and practitioners who I have located beginning in the center of the first page of my website at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. Within my virtual temple groups, you will find House of the Divine Prince, my House of the Divine Prince King group, We Are True Friends, Divine Intervention, Divine Joy and Prosperity, Divine Love and Relationships, divine manifestation, divine revelation, and guiding voice of divination. And do continue to support those powerhouse voices located within the King's Chamber and the Queen's Chamber of my website. Respectfully, you will still find Queenie Fama, you will still find Awo Ifa Sakin, you will still find many, many new voices. I have actually gone in and redid much of the site, changed many sections on all the pages of the site. So if you have not been to the site recently, you may want to go in now and scan through each page and see the upgrades, if you will, that I've made to the site. And I do appreciate those of you who continue to support me in purchasing the coffee and the teas from Africa, which are located on the second page of my website entitled Netherhead Tour. It is the second page of the site. There you will find the first page of my store. I have two pages to my store, Netherhead Tour and Thai Potions. I'm redoing Thai Potions, so Thai Potions doesn't have a lot on it right now. But you can bottom of Netherhead Tour, and you will find an animated box, if you will, that will display a variety of ever-changing African coffee and tea, as well as many other products, CDs, DVDs, webcams, cell phones, books, many things that we all appreciate within the Pan-African diaspora, shea butter, black soap, cowrie shells, many, many, many more. But I do appreciate those of you who do visit the site. I do have account, and I also have account for those of you who actually go into the site and buy products. And some of you know I have very special, special things for people who support the House of the Divine Prince. We indeed support those who support us. I want to also continue to remind you to join us in Congo Square on Sundays at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time here in this beautiful, enchanted, and most haunted city in America, New Orleans. I believe we're right at the 11th day countdown, maybe 12, for Mardi Gras 2012. Yes, 11 days, 11 hours, 47 minutes, and about 15 seconds towards Mardi Gras back to. Understand that we have parades and festivals and events leading up to, beginning on February 4th and leading up to February 21st, I believe, which is Fat Tuesday. So this is the time to make that move towards New Orleans if you truly want to be a part of the events this year. Some of the major parades will begin to roll tomorrow, February 10th. Crew of Cork, Crew of Oshun. I never miss Crew of Oshun. Crew of Oshun is my first parade every year for obvious reasons. Crew of Oshun, Crew of Cleopatra, Excalibur, Eve, Atlantis, all roll tomorrow in New Orleans, and I will most definitely make Crew of Oshun. May even get some film or audio, depending on the conditions. It is a night parade, 6 p.m. It may or may not rain. You know, all those weather things always come into play, but I'm going to do my best. The next major uptown parade will be Saturday, February 11th, the Crew of Pontchartrain and the Knights of Sparta and the Crew of Pygmalion, three major parades. So Mardi Gras is in full effect. I will be forward with more of Obasala, Ose, Ogun this Thursday, February 9th. 2011. Indeed, all is truly a blessing. Some of you know, who particularly have been with me in ceremony, that I'm a channel. A channel is not a commonly used word in Voodooan, but it's necessary for Mambo Hogan to be able to chant, to be hoarse, to be rolled for the deity. This is a practice also known within Ifa, Lokomi, Santeria, but often in a very different context. And for the sake of not trying to foster any confusion, I'm going to sort of leave it there for the time being. But indeed, on this day, I've been working with the altar and the shrine, and I've actually posted a few pictures to my Facebook page at www.facebook.com/thedivineprince. And there in a very gentle, Obatala, in a very gentle, still moment right now, leading me to be very contemplative and meditative, if you will, on many things, where we've been, where we are, and indeed where we're going. Not only personally, many of you know that I am going through processes of continuing my initiations, particularly within Haitian Voodoo and Iwe. And I will be going to Haiti in July to receive Sagwe. Give thanks with your continued support and efforts, of course. But we're also initiating. We've been making heads and crowning and marking and preparing heads and initiating new people into the traditions of not just Voodoo, not just Santeria or Ifa, if you will, but Hoodoo and Obeya properly. So this has been a very busy, hectic, back and forth, up and down period this January, February of 2012. It's been very busy. But we must always remain open to spirit. And Obatala governs us to be mindful of our head, of our consciousness, our thought processes, our meditations, our inner voices, our inner conversation, your inner dialogue. Are you self-motivating or are you setting up blocks for yourself internally? We will talk about the ritual processes applied to the head in both Ifa and Yoruba, if you will, as umbrella of Santeria, Lokomi, and many other paths, but also Vodouan. There's some confusion about the difference between Lave Tet and Monje Tet, the washing or cleansing, purifying of the head, and the feeding of the head. They are not the same thing. And we will discuss some of that also today. And always, I'm taking your calls at area code 347-215-8967. Obatala speaks, spirit speaks, in a soft, still voice, speaking clarity, purity, light, air into our consciousness. These are not just literal terms, but simple metaphysical, metaphoric terms. Water, fire, light, air, purifying that, which is the Ori in Ifa, the T-bone Anj, if you will, in Voodoo, the place where our greatest power resides is in the head. It is that point of contact for spirit, for consciousness, for guides and Lawa and Orisha is at the head. And unfortunately, within this society, this culture, many of you are running, and not giving nurture to the head. And I don't mean just taking a break every now and then, getting proper rest, but getting enough water, being hydrated. People don't understand that when you are dehydrated, when you're not getting the proper amounts of water, one of the first things affected is your brain. Your brain mass actually shrinks and goes into a stress mode when we don't get proper water, liquid, fluid. But we also need to attend to what we're thinking and how we're thinking and how we're planning and how we're organizing. Many things we sort of do as if second nature off the top of our head, no pun intended, without any real forethought, even the most basic things. And there's a saying that, you know, until you do something different, when you continue to do what you've always done, you will get what you've always got. And it is a real imbalance in our society that we actively work against that vibration, work against that sensory perception, if you will, that's natural to being human and spirit, that we would first get signs and signals and tones. Some of you get tones and ringings and harmonies at a very quiet frequency. And if you are paying attention to them, you know spirit speaks. Spirit tells you there's a pattern, there's a course of action, if you will, that takes place when we are alerted to these signs. Many of us are hearing way too much noise in our houses, in our neighborhoods, in our families, on our jobs, to even allow for attunement to some of these frequencies natural to the head, natural to consciousness and spirit. So Obatala comes today imploring us, the wise sage imploring us to give reverence to the head. The deeper meaning for this, of this, is that without fully authentic commitment to the process of initiating into these paths, our heads are left vulnerable. They're in the feeding of the head, which many of you are not even aware of, where you are given the mysteries, given the secrets of the path, of the deities, of the spirit forces that we operate with. Can only be done in the feeding of the head. But it takes preparation to gaining that. It is not something that we sort of set an appointment date and, okay, we're going to do this on a particular day. It's something of a process of cleansing, of purifying, of being reborn, if you will, of reprogramming old thought processes that no longer benefit, are healthy, that are no longer advantageous, and not superimposing something new onto them, but replacing them with something healthy, powerful, effective, spirit. So I invite you to be open to spirit. Acknowledge your head, whether you be crowned or uncrowned, initiated or uninitiated, acknowledge your head. Still yourself, quiet yourself enough to hear spirit speak and guide you into truth and prosperity and happiness. I will be forward, remembering this indeed and truly, a blessing. Ashe. I most certainly do appreciate each and every one for your divine, all-blessed, sacred presence here on the Power Lunch at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes with Prince, House of the Divine Prince, Thai Potions, and Hoodoo Central. My listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. If you have a question, comment, or request, do remember to press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. This will alert me that there is a caller in queue, and I will attend to your call moving forward. I always find it interesting the types of questions that I get, particularly within the social networking sites, and the image by which they are often presented. Now, one of the primary reasons, if not the primary reason, that I started doing this some 3 years ago was to allow people access to not only the traditions, but to what I do, how I operate within the practices of ATR ministry here at the House of the Divine Prince. I'm understanding that we all have had a different level of exposure and experience, whether we be actively in and participating in ATR or just sort of what I call voyeurs. And the internet has sort of opened up a whole new level of voyeurism, if you will, into these paths and these traditions. Again, I find it really intriguing, for lack of better words, some of the questions, the energy behind the questions. And of course, as a natural empath, spirit is always speaking. And sometimes it's appropriate and sometimes it's not appropriate to sort of respond based on what I'm getting from spirit in any of these given situations. But there's some assumption that can be made. We can assume that if we're here on Blog Talk Radio, if we're on Facebook, we're asking questions, whether you be at a desktop, laptop, cell phone, we're all on the internet. We all have access to the most basic search engines. Mention the World Wide Web. So our commitment to these paths and these traditions is often, particularly now in this age of technology, is often something that is literally worn on our sleeves. There's no real sense of feeling or hiding, if you will, from that perspective. So the information is everywhere. And even with my clients, my students, my godchildren, my initiates, I find that those that are truly most committed often come to me with the information. Are studying the books, are doing the searches, are visiting the website, are really doing all they can from a more almost collegiate perspective to understand and to absorb. But let's not be in denial. Let's not pretend and assume that we're all the same. Indeed, we're not all the same. And there are those out there who question, and their questioning has motive, has intention, has often concealed, particularly when we consider the effects of Western culture and civilization and religion on the indigenous practices, often viewed as evil, as dark, as negative, as outside of the realm of godliness, if you will. And often that poison present, even in those of you who claim no permanent connection to the church and no longer in association to Islam and to these traditions, you're now journeying, you're now exploring new paths, new avenues of your culture and your heritage, but we haven't done anything consciously to remove the implants, to remove the sickness, remove the infection, if you will. And that is the role of Batala, Obatala, as well as Dambala, and some of their diverse personalities. And I say diverse personalities because, again, there's almost a very oversimplified, basic, generic approach to these traditions online, where everyone, you know, feels and sees themselves to be a master, often because of the availability of information, not understanding that absent of true initiation, you're just not getting it all. There are many secrets that just aren't being talked about, that just aren't being printed, that just aren't, you know, Google accessible. And this is why much of the confusion continues to linger around these traditions, even in the face of such a wealth of information. Like Ishu, like Legba, like Ilegwa, Eshu, Obatala has many paths. Some say there are 16 and eight of those roles, those cabinos are male and the other are female. Some say there are 45 paths. I was initiated under the understanding of 45 paths, at least, to Obatala. And they're very, very specific in their demonstration, if you will. They're also powerful in their, when you understand the words being used, the linguistics, the language, the semantics, they're very powerful in this demonstrating the presence of Obatala, that spirit of Obatala, just like Legba, throughout the Pan-African diaspora, even in the Ifa, Santeria, Lakomi traditions in past, under Yoruba, where they acknowledge the 45 paths of Obatala, even in the Yoruba language, many of the paths strongly suggest connections to other cultures, other ethnic groups, if you within West Africa. The first path of Obatala, Obatala Risha Aye, we find to be the purest and most mystical aspect of Obatala, Obatala. He, she, is feminine and born of the sea and is represented by means of a large shell known as Okinkanko. In Santeria, this path is tied to the Orisha Oshun, and they have a direct relationship between Obatala and Oshun. There, of course, is an Eleki that goes with path and a specific set of ritual processes that must be adhered to in order to receive communication, if you will, from this deity, in order to activate, if you will, the deity. I would say that though the first Obatala not quite as common as the second Obatala, which is Oshenla, Obatala Orishanla, who is often imagined as a trembling old man or woman covered sheet, white material, white fabric. The name Obatala translates to the spirit of the white cloth. The Orisha Shamla Obatala protects you from traps and has very large hands and eats cocoa butter. Her necklace is often made out of what we call money cowries, the yellowish white cowries, intermixed with some ivory. And ivory is no longer legal, of course, so most times on the Ilekis would be the typical white glass CB or a string of the money cowries ritually strung together to represent this path, this deity. The third commonly known Obatala is Igba Igbo, which suggests a strong connection to the Igbo ethnic group for which I am a part of, and represents divine thought and is symbolized by the eye of divine presence. It cannot be seen, and those who manage to see this path, this Obatala, are said to go blind, often giving reason for why most Obatalas are kept covered. It is also symbolized by elderly people, typically with wrinkles and white hair. It's a very old path of Obatala. A fourth path is Obatala Oba Lufan, which represents the sun and is often synchronized with Jesus of Nazareth. Without going into too much detail, the sun is a strong part of the initiatory process in receiving Obatala and is a part of the secret, if you will, of Obatala. It was this path of Obatala that is said to have given humankind speech and the proper ways of sex practice. When you want to request something from this Obatala, you must place 16 pears on your head. It was he who taught man to weave with needles and is the inventor of carpentry and is the protector of mothers. A fifth path of Obatala, Obatala Ocha Grenat, is the messenger of Alofi. He raises the mountains from the low places, represented by the crucified form of Christ. He is also considered a soldier or a warrior, a guerrero, and is thought who taught Arula the secrets of the name. And in most African, if not all African traditions, the power is in the name. The secret name, if you will, of not only the deities, but our own higher spirit form, spirit consciousness, has a magical name, if you will, said to give life as well as take life from us when not properly given acknowledgement. Many people keep these names secret so as not to cause offense on themselves or others. But these names and the power of these names and the mystery behind them are received with this path of Obatala. Again, I am taking questions and comments at area code 347-215-8967. I will be for it momentarily. All is indeed a blessing. Ashe.
By the rivers, Babylon, we ran and sat down and wept. When I and I remember holy Mount Zion. I and I should be on the tree of plants by the rivers of water and I bring out forth in I and I season. Whatsoever I do, it shall prosper. We can't harm a soul. You lock the song of words on the porch of the wheels, I will tell you. Lord of mercy, because it's a go really in a dita Armageddon. I am going bun in a dita Armageddon. Lightning going clap in a dita Armageddon. Blood going run in a dita Armageddon. And I behold, and I saw on the right side of him that sat upon the throne, a book sealed the seven seals, and no man had heard, night and hid nor harm of the hurt. Was found worthy to hold the book, not to lose the seven seals thereof. And I began to weep much, and one of the elders said unto I, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lamb that has come to no slaughter, has prevailed this day to open the book and to lose the seven seals thereof. Them time I'm right glad. Cause it's a trade in a distant Armageddon. Fire wine run in a distant Armageddon. Blood wine run in a distant Armageddon. Revelation sounds of reality. Revelation, this is a sounds of reality. Cause it wine red in a distant Armageddon. This is wine red in a distant Armageddon. Blood wine run in a distant Armageddon. Fire wine burn in a distant Armageddon. Because the weapon of today is no gun, no bayonet, strictly telepathic. Lightning, earthquake, and thunder, brimstone and fire to bring the wicked band asunder. Tango train in a distant Armageddon. It's a great in a distant Armageddon. It's a train in a distant Armageddon. Because behold, Lord God, Jerusalem has come as no lamb to no slaughter, but as a conquering conqueror in this high war. Repeat it again. In a distant Armageddon, it's wine red. In a distant Armageddon, fire wine burn. In a distant Armageddon, in this Armageddon, it shall be famine. But a handful of corn shall be on the hillside. Vine, I tell Shabbat Israel. Red in a distant Armageddon, cargo trade in a distant Armageddon. Because lightning wine clap, thunder wine roll, brimstone wine come, and storm and hurricane and even earthquake. No gun, no bayonet, strictly telepathic. The last time, it's time to rain in a distant Armageddon. It's going to rain in a distant Armageddon. Fire going to burn in a distant Armageddon. Remember, this fire is an unquenchable fire. Could never be out by no force of water, because a fire have a land of power in a distant island. Rain in a distant Armageddon. Wine trade in a distant Armageddon. Babylon fall in a distant Armageddon. We can't feel it in a distant Armageddon. So I say, sounds of reality. These are sounds of reality. Yes, these are sounds of reality. Revelation. Revelation. Lord of mercy. It's a raid in a distant Armageddon. It winds red in a distant Armageddon. So I say, by the rivers of Babylon, where I and I sat down, and here we weep. And I remember Zion. The weak are turned and so, they're like the trough, and the word sounds and power driveth away. Therefore, the weak heart cannot stand in the congregation of I and I, the righteous, who put I and I shout in the true and living God. It's a raid. I'm gonna be a man.
Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. Area code 610. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Moonstone Shadow. I'm calling from Pennsylvania, Philly.
Oh, peace and blessings, beloved.
Hey, how are you?
All of you.
Yes, I want to thank you for that magnificent selection, especially that last one. Oh, my gosh. My mother...
That was P.A. Aliman Batala Lamiso, which is a tribute to a Batala in Haitian voodoo. Like, you often hear people talk about, you know, well, what is divine prince? Ain't he mixing paths and this, that, and the other? But the reality is, well, first, there's two things. In order to be an authentic Bokor, you have to be formally initiated in at least two paths. It's not you decide to do one thing, you decide to do something else and put it together and call yourself a Bokor. You have to be initiated in voodoo and at least one other path formally. But the second thing is there are many deities like Legba, like Shango, who's known as Nago Shango in voodoo, that translate across boundaries, if you will, into other paths. And these are generally the spirits that we pray with within hoodoo and obeah. So I appreciate you for that. That last song is one of my favorite songs, too.
Man.
Yeah.
And, you know, and my mother, she used to, you know, even in attending back then, you know, just attending church, because I know it was more initially a meeting house, you know, to really conduct the things that they were going to do. And she used to just have a belt. She used to have a bell like that. That, hey, I was like, man, that was taking me back, man. I was like, hey.
Yes. Yes.
She used to do that in church, and I mean, sing over the choir, the organ. I mean, man, you can hear it from across the street. I was like, good God.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I just you know, just wanted to chime in, whatever. I don't know if, I mean, I don't know if you're, like, doing, like, any readings or anything. I don't know the exact platform of the show.
Well, typically I don't. I try not to do readings on the show.
Okay.
Because they tend to get really personal and they sort of isolate the person that I'm doing the reading for. And then the people who are not being read sort of feel, you know, left out of the loop. Sometimes people want to sort of focus in on a topic, and then someone will call in, you know, with their love and relationships or whatever, and then it sort of becomes a problem. I do readings very generally, or generically, I should say, on air, but more often than not, I refer people to make an appointment with me or send a formal request so that I can really give the time and the energy to the reading in the way that it really should be done. in our path quite often, as I was saying earlier in the show, we channel spirit in readings. So to do that, particularly by myself, and then still operate the show and manage the switchboard and all that stuff, it just gets to be too much. So I tend not to do it a whole lot live on air.
Okay,
unless it's pre-recorded.
That's totally not totally feasible and understandable. No, not a problem. Yeah, but I'll definitely shoot that to you. It's just there's a lot of just things just happening about just even with the not even the conceptualization of time, but just seeing how the weather is and things of that nature. It's just like okay, literally it'll be.
It's the season for transformation, and we've heard that, we've used it loosely, thousands of times in the last 500,000 years probably, but we're definitely going through a very specific and unique shift right now that cannot be compared to any other time in Earth history. The amount of people on the planet, the amount of people reincarnating the planet is strongly suggested in the large population count. Also, the technology, we've never really been in a known place of such technology before. And the archetypes of this sort of technology that we do have some memory of take us back to Mew and Lemur and don't always end well. And don't always end well. So we're in a very tense time of transformation. There's also a war going on. Really whack Christian or whack, revolutionary, because it's a war on many different dimensional planes. It's not just about race. It's not just about economy. It's not just about poverty, class. We're talking water now. We're talking land, resources, but also a very intense spiritual battle, which I made some speaking of yesterday, especially in terms of trying to move us into more of what I think to be a military complex state of thinking, will, erase religion, spirituality, morality to some degree. Morality is on shaky ground right now. Everything is good depending on the context. Everything is bad depending on the context. And when you're in war, the rules automatically change, who you harm, who you injure, who you kill. Those brothers and sisters who are putting their lives and their minds and their psyches and their spirits and their souls on the line for Uncle Sam, no matter how we feel about government, politics, the military, those of us as spiritualists have got to acknowledge the profound condition that they're being put under, and then bringing that energy back to the country, which manifests in all sorts of ways. Even on those of us who've never traveled across the water, that energy still gets back, it gets loose, it gets prevalent in our society, it's in our video games, it's in our commercials, it's in our reality TV, where everything is a fight, conflict, and some act of aggression. So any sense of spirit, which speaks in a soft, still voice, meditation, quietness, peacefulness. We have some brothers and sisters under the armchair revolutionary title who suggest we have no right to be peaceful. We have people who are impoverished and white supremacy is still active, and so we can't be peaceful and we can't be this and we can't be that. Not understanding that they're literally cutting their own legs out from under them. You cannot battle. You cannot go into war. You cannot fight without certain very basic characteristic in place. And
oh, yeah.
Those of us who have taken on formal initiation, in various paths, because in many of these paths, you almost always start with Legba in some form, with Ogun in some form, with the warriors in some form, which teach us about discipline, about self-control, about how we handle conflict. Ogun does not speak. Those of us who are initiated, we know this. Legba often speaks for Ogun. So those of us who are on the internet, you know, we take on Ogun sort of as an archetype. We see some similarity to him, some connection to him, and we see aggression and we see, you know, machetes. But they often, again, having neglected formal initiation, they don't know the real mysteries, the real secrets of Ogun. And his real secrets are technology, are being a frontiersman who opens roads, who paves a way, often quietly observing, and when needing to communicate, doing so through Papa Legba, who stands at the crossroads. So
exactly.
So all these things go into sort of a, and I'm very careful about, you know, words, phrases, concepts that even suggest conspiracy theory type stuff. But there's definitely sort of a mass hysteria going on. Mass programming might even be a better word.
Yeah.
Away from anything spiritual, religious. It's either a fictional Harry Potter thing, or it's something to be ridiculed, or it's something that we don't need anymore. You know, I posted a movie on my Facebook yesterday, Prodigal Son, which had several clips in it from the time of Marcus Garvey in his own voice. And it reminded me of the things about him that many of these revolutionaries have no clue about. And one of the strongest platforms that he stood on was that religion and science together protect us from white supremacy and oppression and overall materialism. But many of our brothers and sisters within those ranks seem to think that it's okay, it's acceptable, it's wise, it's intelligent, it's the thing to do right now to talk down religion, to talk down spirituality. And it's really a fad that they've sort of gotten themselves caught up in for lack of knowledge, for lack of doing their own homework, for lack of reading for themselves, for lack of doing their own research and listening to these recordings and these tapes from these leaders, these elders who left us very clear roadmaps as to how we need to move forward.
You know, and unbeknownst to, you know, different people, that whole, whatever people want to subscribe to it as, revolutionary, evolution, abolition, and they don't even know what a pivotal, a very strong pivotal point that Haiti played in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
It's like the reason why you're even jumping up is because somebody down there did it first. And then they traveled all the way up into, you know, Florida parts of the, you know, all throughout the, you know, the Eastern Seaboard. It was like, you know, you hear about what they were doing. It's amazing. This was, you know, pre-telephone and everything. I mean, you know, for us and different
mm-hmm.
things, but how that got all the way up there. And to
mm-hmm.
realize, like, as you stated so very poignantly, that science and religion, you know, have to go hand in hand. And as far as I know, back even dating to the people from our, you know, our homeland, the Muslims were one of the very first people in organized religion to do that. To combine
mm-hmm.
all that together, art, science, and all these different things, which what made their empire during that ruined time so great.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you have people in the Bible, it's like, okay, well, speaking respectfully, some of these other religions have a pinnacle person of anointed blood, and as long as they can do miracles, it's fine. Those soon as you try it, you're a heretic. Like, man, I ain't trying to hear that. Whatever. And I've said to people, I said, the reason why I love to learn and do the things that I do, I said, because Sunday can't come fast enough. Life happens every day, and if something jumps off, I got to be prepared to do what I need to do to, you know, facilitate that.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. We do have another call, so I'm going to put you on hold for just a moment, but I will come back to you. Area code 302, who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Tina, and I'm calling from New Jersey.
Yes, peace and blessings. How can I
help? Peace and blessings to you. Listen, I have some questions. I mean, a lot of what you're saying, you're answering a lot of my questions already about initiation, about just accepting, you know, the principles and the way of certain religions. Now, I'm not a young woman. I have been seeking the truth, whatever that means, for a while. And I've come to different people, you know, asking, like, you know, what is, you know, what can you help me? Because I know there's certain things that that I have, don't know necessarily how to use them, and have been seeking for a while. Now, just recently someone they told me that I need to have a certain ceremony done for my life, that if I don't have it done, like I'm really at the board, at the door for, you know, because there's other things that's been going on with me for a while and I neglected to take care of them, and that at this point now things are really taking a turn for the worse. Well, they have things have manifested in my life very dramatically, very negatively, but I still try to maintain, you know, a positive outlook on things. So I know that you don't necessarily do readings, but I am asking, initiation cost, I mean, work in some religions costs so much money. If you're already down, you know, I've heard people say, well, F them, you know, forget about them, you know, you ain't got no money, then you were just out. I don't understand that whole thinking and how that is uplifting,
you know what?
Our people.
You've given me an opportunity to address a very powerful question. That is really, really good. That is a deep question. And I understand your pain. I can hear it in your voice. I can hear your struggle with the whole thing. And having come out of, most of us, the oppressor's religion, Christianity, and having some general negative foundation already laid down by that, crooked preachers, Cadillacs, Mercedes, you know, million-dollar homes.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing is a source of real contention, particularly for African-Americans, because you often see Europeans, Russians, Germans, you know, going back and forth to Nigeria, going back and forth to Haiti,
mm-hmm.
Without an issue of expense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a couple of ways you can look at this. And I'm going to assume some things about your religious background without you necessarily saying so. And even if you aren't necessarily a former Christian or a former churchgoer, being born in this country, it's still so very deeply ingrained in us at a subconscious level that even those of us who've never ever been to church, you know, grew up in a hood, never set foot inside of a church, they still often operate from that same programming because it's all around us. So the most basic platform is that whole tithe and offerings platform.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that all religions require sacrifice, all of them. And I don't just mean financial, you know, with your time, with your energy, in service. But speaking specifically about finance, they all do. It's just presented differently based on the tradition. So, again, for those of you who can understand Christian, and I'm using that word as a language, you understand tithe and offering. At least you may not agree with it, but you understand it at least from a biblical perspective.
Right.
The temple would not run without the offering. The temple would not run without the tithe. Now in the Christian church, you know, as a Christian, you're obligated to give. Now, whether you agree with it or not is irrelevant. I'm just going strictly on what the book says.
Mm-hmm.
You're obligated to give your 10%. That's a part of the whole deal, if you will, and it keeps the whole ministry functioning.
Mm-hmm.
If that's done healthily, then I can totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take it back to Kemet. The government, the church, the hospital, the police, and Kemet was all within the temple. So it made sense that people brought grain to the temple to feed those who couldn't feed themselves, brought oil to the temple, brought resources that could be utilized in ministry as well as in the community to the temple. When people are operating in that framework, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you start getting an ATR, and I'm speaking specifically of the more formalized path, and when I say formalized, requiring initiations and implements, you can be a Christian with a Bible or without a Bible. You can show up to church without no Bible. You can be baptized. You can put, you know, the change out of the bottom of your purse in the offering plate, and they just may be okay with that. I'm hearing some churches are getting a little more aggressive, but for the most part, you can do that. You cannot be a serious adherent of any of these paths without implements. Now, when we think about money, again, we're thinking through modern, westernized, governmental terms.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with tithes, we often immediately go to the paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
We don't consider somebody's got to do the laundry. Somebody's got to clean the temple. Somebody's got to cook. Many of these things, hoodoo and Obeah practitioners in particular, and even a great deal of spiritualists, have to do by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not because people aren't committed per se, but as a direct result of the cultural environment that we exist in. For many decades, it had to be hidden. Now it's not so hidden. So in the past, we may not necessarily have had large group gatherings regularly, but
mm-hmm.
we had a means of getting resources passed around.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about lake beheads and ogu pots and chosi implements and crowns and makuktos and ileki, all these things in this modern world have a price. It would
right.
be lovely if I can go to the Botanica, you know, just based on my credentials and have them hand over some molds to me, but it don't work that way.
Right.
And even with the initiation, which to some people seem exorbitant in price, we often still are giving out of pocket. After I prepare, and I'm going to speak specifically. You may or may not know what I'm talking about. Right around New Year's, I posted some videos, did some blogs on Facebook, YouTube about me making heads. I showed the heads. Those can often cost $50 or more up just for a mold. Okay?
Okay.
Then we have a ceremony. You have a whole full initiation that goes along with that. People gather. There's food. There's alcohol for libations that are poured, charcoal for the incense that's being burned with the frankincense, the myrrh, the sage, all this stuff. Then you have to apply things into the mold because the heads are called a mold until they have been actively handled by a Santero and packed and then sealed.
Okay.
Now, I'm not speaking about the caller specifically, but some of you listening had no idea of that.
Uh-huh.
And you got a head in your house right now that you got at the Botanica that's got a hole in the bottom, and you don't have a clue what it's for. You know,
right.
It has
okay.
to be fed. It has to be packed. Can these herbs be gathered in the wild? Absolutely. Is that always convenient? No. And sometimes you have to send away for things. So then you're talking about post-its for the thing. I'm about to receive a 21 deity Labe Tet in Haitian voodoo.
Okay.
21 deities, okay? Each of them has their own libation. Barbancourt rum from Haiti can cost $40 a bottle and up for Ogu. That's just Ogu.
Okay.
You got 21 deities. Then you got all the mambos, the hoguns, the congregation, if you will be attending. The ceremony will last a minimum 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We just did a marriage about a month ago for Brother Albert to two deities, Frida and Dantor.
Okay.
We were there 12 hours, and I left early. Okay. So people get hungry. The spirits come down. They're passing the rum around. They're lighting candles. Often everybody in attendance will light a candle. If you've ever bought a seven-day candle, even at 99 cents, that's a lot of candle.
Right.
So it does, on the surface, coming from a Western thinking, appear like, man, it's a lot of expense to get connected with my roots. Even if you just consider travel, you know, well, I don't want to do it in New Orleans. I don't want to do it in Miami. I want to go to Haiti. I want to go to Yoruba. Go to Yoruba land, go to Nigeria. Okay, well, how many trips are we talking? One trip to receive, what, your first initiation? Because if you're going to do it right and you can afford to, you're going to go back every year.
Right.
Just like us folks from up north go down south every summer. It's going to be the same thing. So either way, the expense is there. But it's no different than church folk. It's no different than Muslims. It's just that money, those resources are being gathered in different ways based on the path and are being used. If done right, and we all know that it's not always done right, you know, you have charlatans and all these religious paths, all of them. So we know this. But a great deal of what fuels that is our lack of knowledge about what we're getting into.
Okay.
So we, rather than do the homework, because it's a lot of work, it's like getting a master's degree, really, to
mm-hmm.
get into many of these paths. You're talking about learning a new language you might not speak. You're talking about learning, let's take Ifa, Santeria, Lakomi. You know, you got 17 principal Odus, but then you have a 16 principles for the North Nigeria. Then you have 16 principles for South Nigeria. Then you have what's called the Yahweh Voodoo, which is what we follow, a completely different set of 16 principles. And then each of those principles might have hundreds of sub-verses that go along with them. So to think that you're going to go to Haiti, go to Nigeria, you're going to digest all of that in a weekend and come back and it's going to all be good, it's just not practical or realistic. So then you have those like us who've never left the country, who received our initiations here. I have Nigerian godparents, Haitian godparents who come here frequently. They have large bodies of congregation who support them, feed them, take care of them, make sure they get back and forth. They get here. They still end up providing a great deal of services free, as we expect, particularly in the Western world, expect spiritualists to do stuff for free. But ultimately, those resources, those bills have to be paid. And that's where that comes into play. Now, another issue, sister, is building a relationship. And I briefly hit on that earlier about the voyeuristic aspect to these traditions. People who are really being entertained, who are sitting on the outside looking in, they kind of want to know, but they're really not, you know, committed, really not serious. So we end up spending a lot of time, money, and energy with those people,
okay.
Answering questions, sometimes for months just to find out, you know, okay, well, you know, I'm moving on to the next thing, you know, or whatever the case might be. So there's a lot that goes into it. This is my vocation. I don't work, haven't worked since my early 20s. This is all I do.
Uh-huh.
Read, ceremony, initiation, 24 hours a day. So the rent on the temple has to be paid. I have an energy bill, a phone bill. I have internet. And then people want me to be available on the internet. So I got to pay $40 a month for Blog Talk Radio. I got to pay for my photo bucket. I got to pay for my website. And people like to think that if you're – we have a saying in Voodoo, if God sends you, he will pay your fare.
Uh-huh.
And we believe that. But it don't fall out the sky. You know?
No. And
it
I,
don't
and
come
you know,
down with the rain.
I completely understand. And I appreciate – and I respect that you took the time to share that with me because and you tap right into that Christian background. Like, you know, I used to be, you know, a part of the Christian faith, and, you know, I was a pastor's adjutant. So I understand, or adjutant. He aggravated me, but I was his adjutant. I was there praying for him. I was doing things for him, making sure his family was taken care of. I did all those things. I sacrificed and suffered tithes and offerings. You know, I'm a single mom. And did all that stuff and never looked to any man for help, you know. And unfortunately, you know, it was a lot of wasted energy, a lot of wasted effort. So I thank you because you helped me to let go of some of, I think, some of those issues that I was holding on to, like you said, from Christianity and not respecting the fact that, you know, there is so much work. Because I have seen, you know, in Christianity I saw, you know, all the behind-the-scenes work, you know, some pastors pray more. Some do a lot more, you know, ceremonies behind the scenes. This one just particularly didn't. But,
right.
You know, again, it was just, I mean, I did more praying for him than he did for himself or the ministry. So
we could judge, I'm sorry, beloved. Now, we could judge our doctors the same way, our attorneys the same way, teachers the same way, our politicians the same way. Are we really getting our money's worth? Who's
right.
counting the money? Does anyone
mm-hmm.
care? And
mm-hmm.
who's checking to make sure that they do, that they fulfill their responsibilities?
Right.
Which is why I often talk about there is no such thing as an isolated practitioner. That's your first sign. Anyone who's calling themselves hoodoo, voodoo, obeya, root worker, babalao, orisha, awo, and you
mm-hmm.
don't see no pictures, you don't see no blog posts, you don't see no proof of them ever leaving their house,
right.
ever being involved publicly with other people. That's a sign that something quite ain't right. Because we
right.
can't do this by ourselves. It's impossible.
I got you.
Impossible.
You tapped into even
so
more than I didn't even say.
Yeah. Yeah.
You tapped even, you know, into more than I haven't even said. So, you know, I do thank you so, so very much. And, yeah, like I said, you know, I've been told that I have to have a ceremony done for myself, for my own life, you know. And,
now, let me
and
answer that. Please. I didn't get a chance. I did want to answer that. Be very careful about that. And this is why. Many of these practitioners, again, because of the need for resources, are going to offer certain services at a cost. But the fact of the matter is, all of these services are not for everybody if you have not committed to the path. So to go to a voodoo priest and have a lave tet done, and you don't ever have any intentions on getting into voodoo, is a waste of time, money, and energy. Going to a babalao, going to a orisha priest, and having certain services done just because only happens on a very limited basis. Healing in cases of people being sick and needing certain remedies, certain blocks being removed. But many of these processes require at least some basic level commitment to the path.
Mm-hmm.
So I would first pray, thy will be done
mm-hmm.
on earth as it is in heaven. I would say it over and over, thy will be done. As you continue to really get serious about your search for a path, you're going to have to settle down somewhere.
Yeah.
And as you said, and you know, it's the same thing with the church. you know, finding the right church, finding the right connection, the right pastor, the right group of members, you know, that might be right for you and your family and your kids, it takes some effort. But going to the right college does also. So we are too easy to go with who's popular, who's most visible, you know, who fits in with my way of thinking, you know, or often overlooking what are they really qualified to do and where's the proof and evidence of that. And who are their elders? I have a whole set of elders, many of them on my Facebook page, beginning with my mama, who can speak for who I am and what I do. Many of these practitioners, you look on their Facebook, you don't see no mama, no daddy, no brother, no sister, no cousins, no friends. Everybody they're connected to is somebody from the internet. To me, that's fine.
Okay.
Now, me and my mama don't practice the same religion, but she know who I am.
Right.
And what I do and how much I've dedicated to it. And if somebody confronted her on it, she'd be able to answer the question.
Right.
Just like I would. I know my mom has been through seminary. I know her commitment to becoming an evangelist and what she's had to do to get there.
Right.
So any legitimate practitioner should have that. I have bishops from when I was in the church still connected to me in social networks. All practitioners should have that. Now, that's another sign of what's real and what's questionable. Where are their God's children? Who can you ask, you know, what did you go through? What was it like for you working under this person? You ask anybody, they'll tell you divine principles, strict teachings. I'm very hard. But people who listen to me voyeuristically sort of think I'm a Mr. Nice Guy.
Okay.
And I'm really,
okay.
really not. So again, do your homework, dig in there. If you're serious about it, you've got to get serious about it. And as far as astrological, cosmic time is concerned, you've got to do it now. I don't care what you believe or know or understand about 2012 and all that other stuff. But there's a window open right now. This is the time to really, really move forward.
And let me ask you one more question, because I'm telling you, you just really, really blessed me today with because I've never really asked that question out, you know, just outright like that. And I pray I didn't come across offensive, but, you know, I did. I had, you know, my angel guardian reading done. I had a couple of other works done on Nisa and was very, very serious about it. Wanted to walk that path. And then I think the level of when things start to happen and it doesn't go the way you expect it to go, you know, with my thinking, you know, I'm just like, okay, you know, I get frustrated. I get, you know, I'm ready to, like, I want it done now. And this is what you promised me. I expect what you say to be what it is, because I'm that type of person.
Can I press you just a little bit?
Yeah.
I want you to be more specific.
Okay.
What exactly do you mean? Because, and let me preface that, because just based on the face value, we could say the same thing about church, and particularly these so-called prosperity ministries. A lot of people go into these prosperity ministries really because they want to get rich. They're not thinking about salvation, heaven, hell, the processes that go along with that. They just want to get rich.
Right.
And that's what I meant when I said about commercial spiritualism. Many people come to us, they want their love and relationship fixed, they want their career path fixed, but they are not serious about changing who they are, how they live, how they worship to keep these spirits fed for the long term. So I'm not making a judgment. I just want you to be more specific about what you mean.
Well, when I had my services done, I was told that I needed pots, I needed warriors, I needed everything that you mentioned. That's why I know you like, I need, you know, all of these things. So I came home, you know, I'm ready for this, you know. And so I would call my God sisters and brothers and be like, okay, Baba said that I need my pot, you know, let's get on it, let's do it. And I would just get other stuff, like, you know, because, and I don't want it to seem like I'm putting any of them down, because people have, like you said, this is their life. So sometimes they have other things they have to get done. But as someone who is just coming in, you know, I assumed there was a certain way things are supposed to happen. And
okay,
it didn't.
Let me stop you. Let me slow you down, because I just want to get an understanding here. I'm trying to understand what happened.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so are you saying that, okay, Friday, you know, Baba said you needed to get these pots and ceremony done. Monday came, you had your offering, you had your money, and it didn't happen?
No. It was like 6 months, about 6 months.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, you're right. That's the problem.
Yeah,
and
no one ever gave me a price of how much it's supposed to be. So how am I supposed to plan? You know, I walked away assuming that it was just going to happen because, you know,
No. Slow down. Because I want you to understand after this, and we got plenty of time.
Okay.
Two things happened there. On the one hand, and see, some things they're not going to tell you. And that's why some Babalawos and Awos and Santeros and Palos are very unhappy with me, because I reveal certain things that I feel that are said to be secret, but if spirit tell me to say it, I say it.
Okay.
Now all practitioners are going to test you, but they're not going to tell you that in the process.
Okay.
Because again, many people will come in and say, "Oh, I want to do this, I want to do that," and aren't serious.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I asked you, you know, did he say on Friday we're going to do thus and so, and then you came up with your money and it didn't happen.
Mm-mm.
They may have been waiting on you to bring your offering, because, again, the small pot is going to be $40 unconsecrated. Then your implements might be another $40. Then your head might be another $40. And then all the implements that go with your chosi is going to be more money. Somewhere between $300 and $500 for just the hardware, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then they have to add the herbs that go with the almiero and the certain ceremonies, and the elekis that go, you know, with that process and all the other stuff. So I hear what you're saying. If they could have said, well, you know, we're going to need this amount of money, we're planning for this date, you may have been better prepared for that.
Right.
And I think, too, culturally, you know, we make a joke out of it. You know, we like being on CP time, you know, going to Jamaica on vacation, but expecting them to, you know, serve you your food in a reasonable amount of time. You know, it's almost become sort of a joke, you know, about, you know, I hate the words third world, but cultures outside of our country sort of not keeping a schedule. And what my godparents told me, in fact, this just happened at the marriage we had. Spirit sometimes working its own time. Now if you paid in your offering, that's different.
Uh-huh.
You put up your money, and I have many people that come to me, they put up their money, and then they didn't get what they were promised. That's another issue.
Mm-mm.
But even in the interim, If you let's say you don't have the money,
okay,
are you showing up for the regular ceremony? Are you
participating? I was never told. I'm the type of person, I would have been so committed, even if I, you know, because I believe that, like you said before, if spirit wants you to do it, it's going to be there. It's a matter of time to wait for it to manifest itself, you know. And the same prayer you asked me to pray is a prayer I pray all the time. Lord, let your will that is already divinely, you know, ordained in heaven be the will here on earth. Give me, you know, that thy will be done here on earth, manifest it here on earth. That's been my prayers for years. And, you know, and again, I just.
Let me ask another question. Are they local to you?
No, not at all.
That's another issue, that you all didn't live in the same town.
No, that's
the
same
state. Yeah, and again, that is a very delicate situation. Getting connected with a house that's not where you lived, and understand, we do it all the time, but we require people to come here. We require people to do a lot of work in the process. I don't just say up front, you know, it's going to cost you a whole bunch of money. You need to do this, that, and the other, and then we'll move forward.
Right.
You got to have a starting pace. You got to have a way of marking time, marking progress. Typically, like here, we start with Legba. Then we move into Ogu. And particularly because those two deities are pan-African, if you will. They're in Ifa, they're in Santeria, they're in Lekomi, they're in Voodoo. And usually by that third head, that third deity, you typically have built a relationship that you can sort of gauge where you are in the process. Then you move into receiving your formal crowns, your formal initiation. I'm really disappointed how things worked out for you. Of course, if I can be of any assistance, truly I'm here for you. Whether it be with me or somewhere else, I can at least help you to better grasp the process so that you can move ahead more clearly, openly, with an understanding of what to expect. Because, again, they don't do expect you not to understand often, particularly if they aren't necessarily, you know, and like you, I don't want to judge these people because I don't know them. But let's just assume that they weren't being, you know, 100%. That amount of distance makes it much easier for them to do so. I think it's a blessing that you didn't invest a lot of money, or at least it sounds like you did invest a lot of money. But there are many things that come with the initiation. And part of it is just the study. If they weren't feeding you information, if you weren't learning the names, if you weren't learning the language, if you weren't learning certain very detailed information about what you were about to receive, chances are they probably were not looking out for you.
Okay.
Yeah. But always feel free to send me a message, email, Facebook, whatever need be, and I'm here for you.
Well, thank you. It's my first time listening to your show. I've been trying to catch you, and I miss you all the time. So I do appreciate all your wisdom, and I'm sure that the callers or the people that are listening, you know, it helped them as well, because I know you blessed me today. So, you know, and I believe every practitioner that, you know, does work should be paid. I do believe that. I just didn't understand how you come up with a price. How do you know how this happens? You know, and you made that perfectly clear for me. And I do appreciate it. And just pray for me because I have to have a ceremony done, and I need to have it done like yesterday. So
do get in contact with me. I'll help you out.
Okay. Well, how do I contact you? I don't know.
You can contact me either through Facebook, facebook.com/thedivineprince. I'm also thedivineprince@facebook.com or divineprince@houseofthedivineprince.com.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And you be blessed.
Okay.
All
sure.
Right.
Peace and blessings.
Okay.
Area code 610. I'm going to come right back to you. Give me a minute. Area code 215. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm
Area
sorry. My name is Jen.
Yes, peace and blessings.
I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Oh, another Pennsylvania caller. And how can I help you?
Oh, maybe you can give me the answer. I'm going to go through a legal process right now, and I want to know if this guy is illegal that I just dealt with and I bought something off of.
Okay, I'm sorry. Say that again.
I bought a recreational vehicle off of a gentleman and his wife, and they're nowhere to be found to give me the title.
Wow. Okay, two things. The common sense thing is you're definitely going to have to sue them. You know this. And it's difficult to sue someone if you don't know where they are. Okay, two, and we're running out of time, so that's why I'm sort of rushing through. I don't mean any harm.
No.
If you will, send me a message after the show, and I'll fill you in more completely. I'm not really clear on what your religious or spiritual path is, But this is definitely a scenario that will call for Ogu. Ogu handles things that relate to justice, but particularly the legal system, work, career, finances. And that's definitely the deity that you're going to have to work with in order to get some retribution here. Now, as a spiritualist and looking forward, you will be compensated, but it's going to take a long time. And it's going to take a long time primarily for the looking for this person. Once you sort of track them down, and you will, I'm telling you right now, you will, then the legal aspects of sort of getting your money will sort of happen sooner rather than later. Have you had that vehicle looked at? Because it also does not feel to be quite what they said it is.
No, it's not. They went. I went and purchased it. He drove it up here. I told him I wanted something with no problems because I don't want to focus on this. I want to focus on moving. I'm buying a piece of land. I found the land that I want. It's got my name written all over it. So I'm getting ready to go apply for that, which I hope, I know I'm going to get. And I'm dealing with this guy not giving me a title. So what I did was I went to his house, and his house was empty. He moved out.
So I went
to the police, and the mailman told me where he lived, but the police told me not to go there. And I'm hoping that a state trooper is going to help me. I dealt with the local police. They're a joke. The state trooper said that he thinks he's got the answer to help me.
Yeah, definitely. Because you're going to have them served legally. That's more important, really, than you setting physical foot, on his land anyway.
It's not his, is it? Is it stolen?
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I thought.
Absolutely. They're what you call professional squatters.
Okay.
And they're good at sort of acquiring property, acquiring land, moving in until, the roof falls in, and then they move on to the next thing. And you answered one of the questions that I was getting ready to respond to was that they were still in the area, that they had not left the state, which sort of fuels my sense that you will get retribution for this. But you're going to need some help, definitely legally and definitely spiritually. You're going to need someone with some experience to work Ogu for you. And this is not a biased advertisement, but I really need you to contact me. I'll help you to do that, and I can assure you that you will get compensated for this sooner rather than later. I'm not even seeing it going beyond the end of the summer.
Okay.
You won't get the ATV that you wanted, but you will get your money back and a little bit extra.
Do you see me getting my property?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's a separate scenario, though.
Because I want to talk to you again.
Yeah, please do. I can give you my 800 number, 1-800-275 5336 extension 0149. You can also go to my website at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. Just about all of the places where you can reach me should be listed there in the pages of my website.
Okay.
And of course, Facebook at facebook.com/thedivineprince.
Okay.
Peace and blessings. I'm here for you.
Thank you.
Give thanks. Area code 610. Did you have another question or comment?
Oh, no, man. I'm just sitting here just enjoying the show, and I'm so glad that people are, reaching back to reach out and know that there's more, and there's more to doing things than what is, previously said. So I'm just enjoying.
Absolutely. And we have to work together. We must support each other. You've always supported me. I support you. And that energy must be prevalent throughout the community. far less people would lose their money if we were closer together, if there were more eyes, more ears available, if you will, to sort of canvas these scenarios, these situations. And I appreciate you and what you do.
Thank you.
Peace and blessings. And we are running out of time. I'm thankful for everyone who's participated today, who's been a part of the show. I'm getting chat messages from Twitter, Facebook, so people are listening. I don't open the chat room as much as I used to because here lately I've been extremely busy. Someone has to monitor, and until I can get someone who can regularly sort of monitor the chat room, it's just too much for me to do. I'm using Skype, and my internet computer, everything goes through my television set. So I can actually do this show, walk back and forth through the house, through the temple, dip incense, you know, and all kinds of things, and still do my show, still hear you, still have you hear me, and it's much more of a convenience for me. At some point, I probably will go back to operating the chat room. All is truly and indeed a blessing. And I do invite you to be here with me tomorrow at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio for the Power Lunch, Hoodoo Voodoo Secrets and Recipes. I will be playing music now for the remaining of the show, as well as beyond the remainder of the show until the last person on the phone line hangs up. For those of you who only listen to the show through the live streaming, through the internet, through my website, know that the phone number, 347-215-8967, you can not only can you listen to the show, but after the show ends on air at 2, it continues on the phone line, sometimes for upwards of an hour to an hour and a half longer. Depending on how many people are on the phone lines and what anyone has to say. Usually after that last phone caller hangs up, then I will close out the show. So I greatly appreciate each and every one of you. Enjoy the music. Be here with me on the Power Lunch tomorrow at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time. All is indeed a blessing. Ai vovo. Ashe.
Isaïe, Bila Bila, la vache Golgida.
Non, non, mauvais tato, ma rele, non, non, mauvais tato.
Pitano!
I'll be always driving constantly through.
Thank you.